From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program. I'm glad you're tuning in today as the Reverend Ivan Foster, retired minister of Kilskerry Free Presbyterian Church, is here to Let the Bible Speak.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining me around God's precious word. We're going to look at a verse in Psalm 34. It's the verse 8. And that verse states, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. If you have a Bible near to hand, be sure and look it up. I always like my hearers to make sure that what I'm saying is in the Word of God. In this psalm, the psalmist gives his testimony. Hear what he says in verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. How gloriously simple is God's means of salvation? It is simply a call. Such a means of seeking help is known to the youngest child, and yet how many adults ignore this gloriously simple truth that the mercy of God and pardon for sins are only a call away. The sender of the message preached by Peter and the other apostles on the day of Pentecost is recorded for us in Acts chapter 2 and the verse 21. Here is what Peter said, Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, that is the message of the New Testament. That is true apostolic teaching, though it is often derided and denied today. I will repeat it. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please give heed to that simple message, dear listener. To return to Psalm 34, the psalmist David testifies of God's goodness and rejoices in the mercy he had experienced from the Lord. In verse 4 he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. These two words, call and sought, go together. One explains the other. He sought God for mercy by calling upon him. This is Old Testament doctrine, and it is the same as that taught by the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Indeed, if you look at the record of the preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, you will see that Peter was actually quoting from the Old Testament when he said, Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In verse 16 of Acts 2, Peter says, But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. There is complete agreement between the Old and the New Testaments on how the poor sinner may obtain the mercy of God. To obtain the mercy of God and the forgiveness of our sins forever does not require us to go to church and there kneel in prayer. No, we can call upon him just wherever we are when we become convinced of our need of his salvation. Oh, please think on this. That is what Jonah did when he was in the belly of the whale. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 reads, Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Jonah was heard and answered when he prayed from such an unlikely place. Verse 10 of that chapter reads, And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, back again, Psalm 34. As the psalmist here rejoices in the great goodness he had experienced at God's hand, he thinks about others and their need of God's mercy, the very mercy that he had enjoyed as a result of calling upon the Lord. He thus pleads earnestly with all who will listen to him. Verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. This is our text. The chief indication of God's grace in the heart of a believer is set before us by the Saviour in Mark chapter 12, the verses 30 and 31. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. To love God with all our hearts requires us to love our neighbour as ourselves. This is what David is doing here in the psalm. Out of a love for his neighbour, he cries out in the words of our text, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I hope that these words will find a lodging place in your heart and mine. May I firstly point out to you from these words that we can never have the knowledge of Christ until we taste him. Here again, the imagery used by David is simple to understand. It is foolish men, with their highfalutin terminology, that makes the gospel difficult to understand. As we obtain a knowledge of our food by tasting, so we obtain a knowledge of the goodness of Christ by tasting him. Remember, he said that he was the bread of life. He was the water of life. He sets forth himself under the imagery of bread and water. These are things that are to be taken into the mouth and tasted. As we can only obtain a knowledge of our food by tasting it, in like manner, we can only come to a knowledge of Christ by tasting him. What does it mean to taste Christ? Our text tells us. David employs the image of tasting, but then explains what he means by using the word trusteth. To taste Christ spiritually means to trust him. Thus, Paul says in Romans chapter 3 in the verse 28, Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. He is teaching the grand doctrine of justification by faith. Let us pursue this wonderfully illustrative word, taste. You know, most people have a religion which is really very superficial. Many take the name of Christ upon their lips, but they have never tasted him. The prophet Isaiah records the words of God on this matter. For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honour me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Isaiah chapter 29 and the verse 13. The Lord Jesus quotes these very words against the religious leaders of his day, the scribes and the Pharisees. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew chapter 15, the verses 7 to 9. I say again, many have a religion that consists of taking God's name upon their lips, but they have never tasted Christ. They have never believed upon him, as they are commanded to do by the Saviour. Hear his words. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Mark chapter 1, the verses 14 and 15. This, then, is what it is to taste Christ. Let's take the matter just a little further. Just as our knowledge of food is limited until we put it in our mouths, so we can never know the sweetness of Christ until we receive him into our hearts. It is our taste buds which tell us what the food we are eating is like. The taste buds of our heart alone can tell us of the sweetness of Christ. Listen to these words from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, the verse 3. "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." Oh, how many reject Christ, who have no knowledge of how sweet he is, for they have never tasted him. Have you, dear listener, ever tasted or believed on Christ? If you have, you will know exactly what the psalmist means. Let me conclude today's broadcast by pointing out to you all, Christ is set forth in the gospel for us to taste. Listen to these words. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Isaiah chapter 55 and the verses 1 and 2. Isaiah is employing the same imagery as David in the psalm to set forth the glorious message of salvation. Eat, eat, he says. The gospel sermon is like a samples counter that you may see at an exhibition or an agricultural show or in a supermarket, on which someone is promoting their wares by offering you a taste of their goods. The preacher must likewise display Christ and invite all to freely taste. The only difference is that such samples are in order that you might spend money and buy their products, but the sweetness of Christ is altogether free. You may eat and be filled. His mercy and salvation is, as Isaiah says, without money and without price. Please, today, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, our text has much more to teach us, so we will return to it again. Please join me when we do. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. If we can be of any further spiritual help, or if you'd like to receive some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Ivan Foster, 17 Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, Trillick, BT78 3RN. Let the Bible Speak, Reverend Ivan Foster, 17 Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, Trillick, BT78 3RN. Kilskerry Free Presbyterian Church welcomes you to the Lord's Day services at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. And the church is situated on the Old Junction Road, Kilskerry. For further information, you may phone us on 028-8956-1564. 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all of the services and look forward to having you visit with us. Thank you for listening today, and don't forget to tune in on this same station at the same time next week when we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.